all right, it's time to share. Heavenly Father, you laid this in my heart, now help me to share it in such a way that it'd be clear that we can all get something from it. Hide me behind your cross, in Jesus' name, amen. If I were to ask you for one single word that would describe the Christian life, what would it be? Anyone want to take a guess? Loves one. Loves one. Joy is another. Faith. That's one I was actually looking for. They're all part of it. Now, if I was to ask you for two words that characterizes the Christian life, what would it be? That's okay. That's good. Two words. How many are you here? Just checking. Three words. How about good works? Good works. Is that something that we're afraid to talk about, or do we shy from that? Because many times good work is associated with something that we can do to earn salvation. Well, we know that no amount of good works you can do will ever, ever earn salvation. The very sad thing I'm going to say is that there's going to be a lot of good people will be going to hell. Did you hear me? A lot of good people will go to hell if they've not accepted Jesus as their Savior. There is a lot of good people. There's a lot of good people that do a lot of good things. But you're not going to go to heaven without Jesus. So good works has its place. In the book of Romans, we find that no man is justified by works. It's a gift of God. Salvation is a gift of God. And then we read in another book, the book of James, which the Lord's laid on my heart that I'd like to teach on a Sunday morning. Teach that book. It's a very good book. James says that I'll show you a man's faith by his works. I'll show you a Christian by the things that Christians do. By the things you do, would anybody know you're a Christian? Would there be enough evidence in your life to prove that you're a Christian? Good works. Genuine salvation results in a life that's been changed. We have new thoughts. We have new attitudes. We have new behaviors. And every Christian should be a living, walking example of good deeds. Now, as I had shared a couple Sundays ago, it's not always the case. Sometimes things happen and we're not that wonderful walking example that we should be. And then God must deal with us. Because our light's not shining very brightly. And at times, all of us go through that. There's all times in our life that we've not always been proud of things we've done. My Heavenly Father wouldn't always be proud of me. In the earthly life, there was many times I discouraged my father and mother. And I know that spiritually, I have discouraged my Heavenly Father. And for that, I seek his forgiveness and ask for his help, because I want to do better. I can be better. And I want to be better. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, and he had commended them for their work of faith. for their work of faith, he said, and also for their labor of love and their steadfastness of hope in 1 Thessalonians 1:3. Everything that we do should be motivated by faith, hope, love. So here's the question that I'm asking today. What qualifies as good work in our Christian lives? What is it that qualifies good work? The scriptures are full of examples. We should care for one another, help to meet one another's needs. We give of our time, we give of our resources. We engage in activities like worship and prayer and Bible reading. These activities are good, and we should be all involved in them. It does characterize us as good as God's children, and certainly lights to shine in a dark world. There's four things I'm going to leave with you today. It won't be long. If we were to assume ourselves what we would consider to be good, we'd have all number of things. Or what we might think needs to be done, or how it should be accomplished. We'd all have thoughts or opinions about that, wouldn't we? Well, the Bible has opinions about what is good works. And the first thing that we see in good works is Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. God determines what he wants each of us to do. It is God that determines it. You like to might think that you determine that, but it's God that determines it. Do you know that when you were born, God gave you a very special gift? Some of you that are teenagers, young people, I can tell you that God has already given you a special gift. Well, Pastor, well, I'm not sure what it is. I'll ask God to show you. Ask him to show you. When I was a teenager, I didn't think I had any gifts. I really didn't know what they were. If I had any, I didn't know what they were. But I knew as I've gotten older that God has given us uniquely very special gifts. Each and every one of you has a special gift. And he has determined it. Listen to Ephesians 2:10. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. Did you catch that? He already knew that. He knew it before we was born, what he was creating us to be and to do beforehand, so that we would walk in them. So we belong to Christ. It is he who purchased us with his own blood. He has full authority over our life. We are his temple, the temple of the Holy Ghost. There's specific tasks that we are appointed to accomplish as we walk in this life to do his will. Sometimes we get to thinking that believing in Christ just simply means attending church on Sunday, and then we can just live the way we want to live all week long as it pleases us. We just do whatever we want to do. And if you're of that thought, you're going to waste your life. That's a wasted life. God didn't create us to be wasteful. He said, redeem the time, for the days are evil. You see, we Christians are the very people that the Holy Spirit carries out his work here on the earth through us. And in us, he redeemed us from sin. He purified us for himself so we could be people that would be zealous for good deeds. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. The second thing, God equips us for whatever he calls us to do. He equips us. He is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we would ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Ephesians chapter 3, in verse 20. Now, it's interesting. When I was in school, I would prefer to do an essay, a large essay, a 500 or 1,000-word essay. I would prefer to do that over just speaking for 15 minutes. Don't you want to ask me what I'd do now if I had a chance to go back to school? I'll tell you real quick. I'd take a 10-minute oral message any day. Any day. But see, back then I didn't realize that I'd be able to speak. Didn't know that. In fact, I was quite shy and didn't like to speak in front of the class. I even hated to just read in front of the class, let alone speak. If you'd have told me in school that I'd be doing what I'm doing here today right now, oh, no, you got the wrong person. You got the wrong one. And that ain't going to happen. God has a way of letting us know what he formed us to be. He made us special to do special things. I'll be able to reach some that others can't reach. Others will reach some that I'll never be able to reach. That's why God made us so unique. We're unique. There's only one like us. Praise the Lord. Somebody say amen. Every opportunity that God gives us, every opportunity, he has already provided what we need to accomplish that task. He's already provided. He's made it available for us. There's lots of resources the Lord uses to help us to do good works. His indwelling spirit gives us direction and strength. How about the spiritual gifts that also help us to serve him? And then there's the Bible, God's holy word, the scriptures. They teach, they reprove, they correct, they train us so that we can adequately be equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. He uses you, my brothers and sisters, to motivate us toward love and good deeds. Hebrews 10:24. Even our wealth. You say, well, I don't got a whole lot of that. But what you do have. Remember the widow. How much did she have? What do they call that? A widow's what? Mite. She didn't have much. But she did very well with what she had. God asks you to do the same. She didn't have much, but she gave what she did have. This all becomes a tool in the hands of God. The third thing, our good works are to glorify God, not ourselves. Not to draw any attention to ourselves, but to glorify our Lord. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus called his followers, and the girls sang about it, the light of the world, and said they were to let their light shine so others would see their good works and glorify the Father. Matthew 5:14-16. But then in the very next chapter, in chapter 6 and verse 1, we hear these words, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. What is your motivation? You see, it all has to do with motivation. We should never seek the approval and praise of other people for what we do. In the midst of this dark and self-centered world, we should do good deeds, not to be noticed, but because the love of God it should have been shed abroad in our hearts. And if somebody comments you and wants to give you a commendation and they'll come, we need to remember that apart from Christ, as Paul said, we are what? Nothing. We are nothing. So we need to pass that praise on to him. in recognition and gratitude. When Diane Sawyer interviewed Billy Graham, she asked this question: to what do you attribute all your success to? And Billy simply said, I don't know that I've been a success until I hear the words from my Heavenly Father, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Wow. Fourthly, God will one day judge our good works. What we do in this life has a tremendous impact on our eternity. As believers, we'll be called before the judgment seat of Christ to account for our deeds. 2 Corinthians 5:10. Some of our works will be worthless and will burn up like wood, hay, and straw in the judgment. But we will be rewarded for the good works done in obedience to our Lord, according to his power and for his glory, 1 Corinthians 3:10-15. We don't know exactly what these rewards will be, but I can tell you that one thing is certain. They will signify a life of good deeds that glorified and pleased our Heavenly Father. And nothing could be more valuable than receiving praise from our beloved Savior. So we need to each spend our life living for him. And when it comes to good works, it's not just religious activities. It's things that we do at home, things we do at work, things we do at school or church or other activities. And the thing that we must really be careful, we must resist that temptation to compare our works with the achievements of others. Because we're responsible only for the things that God has prepared specifically for us to do. Would you stand with me? Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to share today to these brothers and sisters. Thank you for the message you've laid in my heart. And I pray, Lord, that I'll be able to be a good walking example of those things that certainly show that I'm a Christian. Help me, Lord, because there's times that I don't do a very good job at it. And Lord, I pray that this message will speak to every heart here and also will challenge them to be a good Christian example to others, because there's so many others that need you. People need you, Lord. They need you. They need you in their homes. They need you in their relationships. And as a nation, we need you, Lord. We need you. Forgive us. So many things we've done wrong in our nation. So many things. And yet I'm so happy to be an American. I am privileged to be an American. But I ask you to forgive us, because there's so many things that have gone wrong in our nation. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us. We repent. We ask your forgiveness. Because, Lord, we want this nation to be blessed. But I know it won't happen until your people will humble themselves and seek forgiveness for the things that we've done. Thank you for this opportunity. What a privilege it's been to share and just to talk about you, Lord. What a blessing it's been for me today. It was an honor. To you be the glory forever and ever. We ask in Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Lord bless you.